2013 is going to be a year of nostalgia, consolidation, and innovation. Not my words, but those of
Morris Mislovsky.
Yes, and he is what is known as a business futurist. And we've had him on the program before in the past. Been a while since we spoke, though. G'day, Morris. How are you? Happy New Year.
And to you both.
Now, what is going to be on trend in 2013, Morris? Let's go through it bit by bit because I'm intrigued by all of this. What are we going to be eating?
Oh, lots of great stuff, hopefully. 2013, as you said, I think it's definitely on the upside. As you said, a year of nostalgia, consolidation, innovation. Looks like we have accepted the stuff that's around us in the economy. That's not going to change, unfortunately, this year, but we've learnt to live with it, and we're coming back out the other side. So food is changing, as you said. What we're seeing across the board is that we're going into a period where we're going to be very, very careful about where the food comes from. We're looking at locally sourced meats and seafood, locally grown produce, making sure our kids eat well, environmentally sustainable, all the stuff we've spoken about. But now, in 2013, is going to become really, really popular.
Do you know what I reckon has had a big impact on that, Morris? Is the whole MasterChef phenomenon. We've got little kids who can whip up better meals than a lot of their parents, and they actually know to ask where this food came from.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What MasterChef and all those shows have done is really bring to our attention that we can cook at home. Because as strange as it sounds, for about a decade before those shows, most of us were eating out a lot. We didn't really care where our produce came from. But we have started to take far more care about it. And you're right, the kids are very sensible.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of veggie gardens in schools and those sorts of things, which is also increasing their curiosity about foods and you know, where they came from, how they get them. I used to convince my children that the tomatoes that I'd bought at the supermarket were the ones that I'd got out of the veggie patch, and they were the only ones that they would eat.
Ah.
Yeah, I'd say, oh, look at this, they've all just come out of the veggie patch, and they'd scoff them like lollies.
And you had a veggie patch?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, excellent.
Just a little one. Yeah, no.
That's like where
you had a veggie patch and very gullible children.
Couldn't fool them that much if you didn't have a veggie patch. What are we going to be drinking?
There's some interesting trends for our drinks. Again, it's this local thing that's going to be influencing our drinks. We're going to have, apparently, a lot of on-site barrel-aged drinks.
What does that mean?
It means that we're going to see that the barrels, you know, where the wine and where the beer comes from is actually on premises.
Oh, brilliant.
Rather than just being brought in on bottles. So all that microbrewery that's been popular over the last few years is going to come to a head this year. We're also seeing what I think will be an interesting trend. You know how when we go to a restaurant and we have a sommelier and he or she will give us a wine pairing that goes well with the food?
Yep.
We're going to see that now with beer and with cocktails because that's the big trend overseas.
Wow. So that's kind of fancy, isn't it?
Isn't it? Very fancy. So cocktails are really making a comeback this year. They've started to over the last year or so. Apparently 2013 is the year that we're all going to be drinking them.
Well, especially here in Perth, where a glass of wine can cost you $12, you know, it used to be such a difference between the price of a glass of wine and a cocktail, whereas these days it's sort of narrowed a little bit more now, hasn't it?
It is, absolutely. And also I think the theatre that goes with a cocktail now, I mean, just watching them create it is worth the money in itself if they're very good at it.
Absolutely. And if we're talking about locally produced beers, does that even extend to homebrew?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We're definitely pushing back into the home in all sorts of ways. Home brewing is one of them. And as we talked about a little earlier, microbreweries are really going to be very, very popular. There's this sense that we want to know where our food, our drink, our clothes, all those things have come from. That big global conglomerate that we've been a part of where it was almost informal, we really didn't know where this stuff came from, has passed us. We now want absolutely to know the provenance of everything.
Morris, do you think that is, what does that say about us economically? Does it say if we're all this focus on the home, does it say we're a little bit more strapped for cash than we were, or does it say that we've got a bit more than we were and we've actually got time to think about where we're going to spend it?
It comes definitely from the usual reaction that when we have no money, we kind of bunker down, we go back to home, we start cooking, we start knitting, we start gardening. And remember that the trends are really only an influence of what's happened before. I mean, these things have taken a while to get to this point. So definitely next year is a reaction to that. The fact that we haven't had a lot of money, that we've had to make do with what we have. And now we just want to get a little bit fancier with it. There's a little bit more money around. We don't want to go whole hog and go back into the days we had before of huge spending. So this is kind of the bridge between what we had and where we're headed.
We're going to tick over the 23 million mark sometime this year too, Morris, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, not too far down the track. We're at about 22.85, somewhere around there at the moment. So about halfway through this year, we should have 23 million people living in Australia.
Mm.
And the world population is going up to about 7.2 billion, and we're at 7.08 at the moment. So some big numbers being put onto the planet.
And what impact is that going to have on us here?
Mm.
It's going to have a huge impact. Not these numbers necessarily, but the cumulative ones of them. When we get to 2050, and that's a long way off for all of us, we're going to be looking at about 9 billion people. And in Australia, somewhere between 27 and 30 million people. Mm-hmm. It's those kinds of numbers in the next decade and two that are really going to impact on us. And we're going to have to find some clever ways with food, with energy, with water, with all kinds of things so that we can, in fact, keep all of us sustained alive.
And now we're going to the polls, both on the state level on the 9th of March, and we don't know when the federal election is going to be. Morris, any ideas?
No, it's always a gamble, but I do think that we'll see something between August and October. I think it's going to be a September-October election.
Mm. Brilliant. Now, you sound like a pretty fashionable kind of guy. Tell me what sorts of trends, what will women be wearing in 2013? Are we seeing any major trends coming
we
through?
We are. You definitely haven't been speaking to my children, that's for sure. So we are. And again, there's a lot of influence down the track. This is from Vogue, who have put together their thoughts into next year. And what they've said is there are a number of influences. One of them is what they're calling Asian Major, which is taking the influence of the Far East. It's that silk pyjama sheath dress kimono look.
Right.
Being put into women's fashion.
Quite. So I can go out in my jammies and drink cocktails and be terribly fashionable. I'm loving 2013
possibly,
already.
Possibly. I think the pyjamas might be a bit more upmarket than the ones you wear at home, but I'm not to say. So
what do I
know? Exactly.
Probably struts around and we don't have any inside knowledge of this. Only Andrew, her husband, would know and her children. You'd probably, knowing you, you'd have designer jammies. You wouldn't just be, you're not a flannelette person, I don't think.
No. No, I'm loving the idea of the silk pyjama.
Yeah,
that sounds really nice. What else?
So, and we're also going to see the material itself come into a very different space. We're talking about, or they're talking about, surface treatment and graphic content. That is, the material is going to be textured, layered, so we're going to see possibly a lot of Hessian, a lot of embellishments, fabrications, things sewn to it, and very, very stark stripes and spots and checks and flowers and things put onto material.
Oh, listen to you.
So lots of this, just not just creating the garment itself, but what's the actual material made of and how can we make the material itself that much more upmarket, perhaps? And what we're pushing into is a world of printing of material, printing on demand.
Wow, which is also goes back to that old-fashioned kind of, you know, we print, we make designs, we print them up ourselves, that kind of home industry kind of stuff.
Absolutely,
isn't it?
And we're seeing that with all of the high-end fashion at the moment, that all of the designers are now purpose printing their own material in very short runs.
Isn't it funny that in the olden days, if you had clothes that you made at home, that you always felt that they were a little bit second best, and these days we have a new word for it, we call it bespoke.
Yeah.
It's handmade, it's you know, it's all quite fancy and with triple the price tag, and it's, you know, it's what you used to get at home, home knitted jumpers, homemade dresses, that sort of thing. Now Harvey has joined the new millennium, Morris, and he's gone and got himself an iPhone. What is all of this social networking? We might even get him onto Twitter.
Oh, heaven
forbid. Ready for that?
I'll go on Facebook first.
All right, we'll go Facebook first. But all this social networking, we used to talk about 6 degrees of separation. That's probably about 2 now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is for the reason that you've said, that so many of us are on these smartphones. In fact, in Australia, we're coming up to almost 70% of telephone owners, mobile phone owners, have a smartphone. And that's a phone that does something else apart from just take a call and an SMS.
That's extraordinary,
it's
isn't it?
It's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a marketing coup, I think you call that.
And we're one of the largest adopters in the world, as we know, of these sorts of technologies. But what it's meant is that we all carry around this device, which is hooked up to the Internet of Things. We're so used to now, and it's only been a few years, pulling out this device and going onto the Internet, going onto Facebook, onto Twitter. In other words, not waiting till we get back to somewhere to find something out, but wanting it right now, wherever now is and wherever it is. And because of that, we really only are 2 degrees away from anybody. You know, we can find the phone number of something, we can find the address of somewhere, we can find a comparison product to something we want to buy. All of that's really only a couple of clicks away.
Do you see us going backwards with that, sort of saying, look, enough already, I've had my fill of all of this technology, I kind of want to turn it off and go back to a sort of a simpler time when everybody couldn't get hold of me all the time?
I'm not sure if we'll go back all that way, but I certainly think that we're going to calm down, and I'm looking forward to that. I've been looking forward to that for a few years. We were really besotted. This was brand new technology we'd never seen before, and we were like a kid in a candy store.
Oh, yeah, it's a complete love affair.
Oh, just besotted by this thing. But what we're finding now is because people have had it for a few years, because most or many people are on their second or maybe third mobile phone that has this, we're kind of over that infatuation and we're just beginning to use it now for its main purpose, which is to communicate, which is to connect. So I'm certainly seeing this year as being a year where we're going to get less of where am I having coffee and where am I going, because quite frankly, who cares?
Yeah.
And more about what can I do with this that's purposeful and useful in my life.
Now tell me, what are Google Goggles and why will we all be wearing them?
Oh, Google Goggles is a relatively new piece of technology, and there are a number of manufacturers that are saying they'll have them this year. Google is the most prominent. So think of an ordinary pair of sunglasses and then imagine Top Gun. And Top Gun sitting in your cockpit and you've got your helmet on, and inside the helmet you can see the skies, all of the virtual stuff, but you can also see the radar screen, you can see the other plane coming up, you can see all sorts of bits and pieces inside the visor, and that's virtual. That's what Google Goggles are going to be. We'll be able to buy a pair of glasses, and to the rest of the world it'll look like an ordinary pair of prescription or sunglasses, but inside of that, as well as seeing the world, we'll be able to get a feed from our mobile phone or the internet that will give us directions to where we want to go, tell us about people we're seeing. Whatever it is we want to know will be shown up on the screen of our glasses instead of our mobile phone.
How extraordinary.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch people walking around with these things. They're going to be expensive when they first come out. We're not sure of the price, but Google has kind of said it'll be around the $1,500 mark. But already we're getting the high-end sunglass manufacturers looking at this and producing some pairs. So I think by this time next year, we'll see them down to about $500-$600.
But could you have the kids in the back of the car watching a DVD on just glasses?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it will be. What they're saying is that within a few years, a lot of the screens that we carry around with us, including our mobile phone, will become irrelevant because we'll have these glasses on, or we'll have a foldable or a bendable screen. And it sounds like a step too far, and perhaps it is, but you know, when we talked about people plugging in their earphones 5 or 6 years ago, and when we talked about people reading their e-readers on buses and trains and everywhere, which is just an explosion now, 5 years ago, you would have absolutely said to me, that's just too far, that's crazy, people will never do it. But we do.
We do, and you see so many people walking around with their headphones on, no one talks to each other anymore.
Yeah, and there are big cultural issues around this, so it's not as if I'm saying or you're saying that these things are good, they're just going to be out there, and we're going to have to learn to use them for niceness rather than for evilness.
Now, Morris, is this growing trend, and this really gets right up my nose, yes. This growing trend
I will.
This growing trend of naming your children with ridiculous names, or if their conventional names spelt in a very stupid way. Is that going to continue?
Oh, God, of course it is.
Oh.
So, again, the predictions for next year are that we're going to get even, in some ways, even more crazy, and in some ways a bit more nostalgic to the names that I think you and I especially might want. But we're told already on the spike of names that kids must have that they have to be old world gods and goddesses.
Like what?
You know, like Augustus and Atticus and Athena are becoming popular, and this is all because of Thor, you know, the movie that's come out.
Yes.
All those old movies have made people nostalgic for giving their kids these godlike names.
So it could be Andrea Persephone Burns.
Oh, that's just...
Harvey Narcissus.
That's majestic.
Harvey Thor.
Are you Thor? I'm Thor too.
those sorts of names.
So they're the names that are on the horizon already out of the States, and we know that they're a little bit left of field, but they tend to come to Australia fairly quickly. On the other side, which I'm finding more palatable for me, is that a lot of the old-fashioned names, what they're calling grandma and grandpa names, are coming back. The Annies, the Mollies, the Bens, the Maxes. and those sorts of things.
Yep.
And that's, again, the nostalgia that we're going through, that Mad Men series.
I was going to ask you, is it all kind of Mad Men?
Yeah.
Well, we see many people called January. January Jones.
Apparently, we're getting into that kind of man. January and March is replacing Autumn and May. So, I don't know why we're settling our kids if they're not going to have enough problems by calling them Thor and May and all the rest of it.
Oh, yeah, the poor kids, you know.
This is the world that they're headed into with these kinds of names, so.
Well, I suppose that it's kind of nice to have, you know, not everyone has the same names. I remember way back where there'd be, you know, 6 Jacks, 7 Henrys, 10 Toms, that sort of thing. It's nice to have the variety, I suppose, and people do like to express their own kind of selves through the names of their children, don't they?
That's true, but it's going to be an interesting kindergarten in about 4 years where you're yelling out Thor and Augustus.
Yeah, Thor,
and Atticus.
Stop biting Persephone. Sit down in the naughty corner with Juno.
I'm going to have to take that lightning a bolt away from you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. food for thought. Morris, great to talk to you, mate, and you know, all the very, very best for 2013.
And to you and all the listeners. I'm sure it's going to be a tremendous year for all of us.
Brilliant. Morris.
Thanks, Morris.
Lotsky, yeah. There, who is a business futurist. It's also very interesting, isn't it?